Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we've got a jam-packed, very important broadcast lined up for you today. It is 8-8-11. August 8th, 2011. We're going to be live for at least the next 3 hours. A military source who's given us a lot of really good information over the years that integrates in with other information we're getting from other sources will be popping in for about 10, 15 minutes at the bottom of the hour. Colonel Six, he's been a caller to the show and made a lot of predictions here that have come true. So he's going to be popping in with the latest on the supposed group of SEAL Team Six people being killed a few days ago. And all of the suspicious circumstances surrounding that. Another reported helicopter crash today over in Afghanistan. Webster Griffin Tarpley will be joining us to break down the S&P downgrade of the U.S. Treasuries and the credit rating of the United States. That's now triggering downgrades, of course, at the state level and local level, as we told you it would. We've been positioned for decades into total bankruptcy. The Federal Reserve first used us as a base of operations to give them military and political muscle globally. Now they're killing the golden goose because they're done with us. It's a scorched earth policy, bringing us deeper into financial tyranny. And then we have Nomi Prinz, who, of course, herself was a high-level banker in her own right. And she's going to be joining us to go over the latest developments in the economy. And then, of course, Dr. Steve Pachinik is going to be coming on because I want to get his view on the Navy SEAL situation. I don't know what his views are going to be, just like I didn't know what his view would be when I called him up to get him on about the Norway shooting, even though some of you disagree with his views. And I think overall, I don't concur with everything he's saying. When I call up a guest to get the perspective, I don't call up and say, what's your view? And then if they don't agree with me, well, I'm just not going to have you on now. I have them on to genuinely see what they have to say. And so you can see what they have to say. And so we can debate it and discuss it. That's why sometimes you'll see divergent views and ideas here. This is not a radio show where we just continually read from some same sheet of music, kind of like a neocon radio or mainline liberal radio, where it's just the same show day after day, same ideas, reading from the same sheet of music, like it's some type of mantra or a yogi chant. That's not happening here on this transmission. We've got some other good news in all the bad news. Al Gore talked to the Aspen Institute, big globalist think tank, and it was documented by press that was allowed in that he completely blew up and said that their whole fraud of global carbon taxes and the rest of it is basically destroyed. And you've got the Rasmussen poll out last week where 69% of Americans believe scientists have been paid to basically lie. Well, they've been caught lying under government funding. So very excited, exciting news there from Mark Moreno at Climate Depot. That's up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I want to get Mark on later in the week if we can to go over some of that, because it shows no matter how big these frauds are, and they're going to keep going ahead with it, but it's limping, it's on fire, it's bleeding out. But a dead elephant being dropped on you can still take you out. So they're not going to stop, but we're definitely slowing them down and having victories. We can do this on the war on terror fraud. We can do this when they tried to push torture and get us to accept torture as good. Nobody really bought it, so they had to stop that, at least on the surface. The Federal Reserve is incredibly unpopular. Over 80% in most polls want it abolished or at least audited. We're winning the info war, as Hillary Clinton had to admit with horror. Free humanity worldwide is waking up. We're having a huge effect. And there's so many other victories we're having. But let me get into the hardcore news, the economic news, straight ahead on the other side and what this downgrade means. Right here on the one, the only, GCN Radio Network. I'm Alex Jones. We'll be right back. We're simulcasting the radio at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
You're watching an InfoWars.com special report. The stock market has tanked more than 500 additional points today, a total of 519 on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, on news that the Federal Reserve will keep interest rates at zero or below for the next 2 years. There are riots and demonstrations taking place across the world, from Israel to England, and a massive increase in crime here in the United States. Joining us to break down exactly what this means and what's coming in the short and long-term future is Max Keiser of MaxKeiser.com. He is a former stock trader and, of course, the inventor of the virtual trading system, the Hollywood Stock Exchange. And he joins us because he's predicted with great precision much of what has now unfolded. Max Keiser joining us from Paris. Thanks for being with us.
Sure, Alex. Anytime. Great to be here.
Well, my friend, break down what we're seeing in the markets right now, what's happening with Bank of America, other bank stocks, and what this signifies to have the Fed announcing that interest rates will be held where they are for the next 2 years.
Well, you mentioned the Fed talking about keeping interest rates near zero for another 2 years, and talking actually about alternative ways to juice the economy, monetarily speaking, which includes such things as negative interest rates, we can get to in a second. But this whole giving way monetary easing, typically markets would go up on that news. And as you see, markets are going down on that news. It's just because after 20 years, 25 years of creating this massive Ponzi scheme of cheap money and creating a GDP in America that's tied to the banking system, that's tied to cheap money, finally, in the last couple of years, that's no longer working. So no matter how cheap they make the money, they hit a saturation point a couple of years ago, and it's just falling apart. So there is no amount of cheap money at this point that will stimulate the economy. It's like kicking a dead horse, literally. The economy is dead. The model that has sustained it for 25 years is finished. And all the policymakers are doing is trying to resuscitate the economy using the same tricks they've used for 20 years, and it's not working. And as a result, you've got this enormous disconnect where the message coming out of the Federal Reserve and from Washington is that we just need more stimulus and everything will be fine around the corner. And meanwhile, the economy is crashing, unemployment is rising, social unrest is rising, you've got riots all over the world, and they don't seem to make the connection that maybe what they're doing is completely wrong.
Or maybe they have made the connection, and that's why in Europe, the United States, the UK, the social engineers, as soon as they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act back in the late 1990s, began setting up a very oppressive authoritarian police state. In the last decade, they've used the threat of the manufactured war on terror as the excuse to build that, Max. But now they're basically admitting that the whole apparatus is for the people themselves. Do you think that the system will be successful in being able to suppress revolution?
Well, okay, so you can take the point of view that this is a planned, controlled economic demolition, and the result is a return, really, to an economic model that you could call feudalism, really, because all the wealth is concentrated in the upper one-tenth of 1%, and everyone else is essentially an indentured servant, especially if they bring in these negative interest rates, which guarantee being an indentured servant from birth. So, yes, it's easy to say that this is the agenda of the banks because it's the easiest way to make money. And they've been very successful without anybody stopping them from putting this in place. Is it going to be successful in keeping down the global insurrection against banker occupation, as I call it? I think that this is the war, and this now it's on. You know, we've been talking about it coming for a number of years. And clearly, it's here. And it's here, obviously, in North Africa and the Middle East. It's in Europe. It's in Athens. It's in Dublin. And now it's in London in a way that has caught everyone by surprise, really, because it's spread very, very quickly. And it's very violent. and it seems completely anarchistic. And yet, if you look at this at a more of a broader historical and global perspective, you can see that this is part and parcel of this tension that exists between the bankers who are stealing wealth on a minute-by-minute basis and getting better and better at it, and nobody's stopping them, and the rest of the world population, which is being disenfranchised, bankrupted, and thrown under the bus. And this is causing this conflict and it's erupting in different countries in different ways.
Max, if you had to choose one geographic area in the world where more of the banksters, the oligarchs, the Ponzi scheme operators are based, wouldn't it be the city of London, within London? And after you give us the answer, describe for folks what the city of London within the city is.
Right, absolutely. The city of London has been the global center for the global hedge fund community because they're very lax in the regulatory environment for banks and hedge funds. And as a result, they attract the hedge funds. They also attract many of these oligarchs that are fleeing their countries. For example, the Icelandic bankers who stole billions, they took up residency in London. And they give them safe harbor. As a result, in a perverse way, the real estate in London is out of reach for the average person because of the price appreciation due to the inclusion now and the arrival of all these oligarchs from Iceland or from Russia, different territories around the world, where they have been able to totally co-opt the system, confiscate wealth. But London is definitely the center of the global arbitrage and the global money laundering business as well. And as a result, it attracts all sorts of these kleptocrats and oligarchs. And the city of London, which is their quote-unquote Wall Street, it's a principality within London, and it fits amongst these other there's a couple of other territories in the world. I believe Washington, D.C. is one of them, and so is the Vatican. These are three centers of it's its own sovereign, if you will, and they have their own government, and they kind of communicate with each other. It's part of the ability of the elite to communicate with each other completely outside of any sovereign that is reportable to the public. It's a private sovereignty. And obviously with the queen and the monarchy also nearby, there's a lot of communication there as well. There's a lot of wealth that's being controlled. Remember, Gordon Brown last year talked about the shadow banking system. This is a $14 trillion banking facility that's completely outside of the normal channels of the banking system, as completely unregulated. It's completely non-visible, non-transparent. And this is where many of the stock deals go down and where a lot of the inside information is capitalized on before becoming public, because it's done completely out of view of the public. And this shadow banking system is tied into the global derivatives business, the credit default swaps, for example, that are destroying Greece, the credit default swaps that destroyed Ireland, the credit default swaps that are now destroying America. You know, when the S&P rating agency downgraded the U.S. from AAA to AA+, suddenly there's huge volatility and there's huge trading activity from the vultures who are now swooping in with credit default swaps and effectively attacking America with the financial weapons. And this is part of the collapse of the U.S. These guys have no sovereignty of their own. They're simply marauding rogue financial bankers or financial terrorists, and they go wherever they can make the most money.
And that was my next question, and it's these very groups, these six big mega banks that are always pushing a global corporate government that we pay our VAT taxes to. They're not content now to just buy off our politicians in Europe, England, the United States. Now they want open world government, but at the same time, the laws of nature, the laws of history show that they can't really be above the law forever, especially if they totally decimate their host nations. I mean, even here in the U.S., some municipalities are having to lay off 60-70% of their police. At a certain point, they're destroying any markets for them to even operate in. I mean, I understand they're a parasitic system feeding on the real market in the real world, but it seems that they think they can just go on forever.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
How do we reverse this? What are ideas or programs, Max, that you think would be a good way to extricate ourselves out of the finance oligarchs' global system? I mean, one thing would obviously be to get rid of the Federal Reserve here domestically, and in other countries get rid of the same model and go back to currency being issued as a national credit with the faith of the country behind it, not the Federal Reserve system we got in 1913. What, raise interest rates, write off the 1.5 quadrillion in fiat debt garbage we've been signed on to? I mean, are those good ideas? How about we start arresting these banking heads that admittedly sold trillions of dollars of fake instruments? I mean, it is truly us or them. As you said today on the radio, they are imploding our entire world into their own control, and we are going to see more riots, looting, things that actually just hurt the general public unless we reverse this system.
Well, my favorite idea is to arrest the bankers. And you have a great example of that with the 1980s, with Bill Black, the regulator at the time, who arrested and prosecuted more than 1,000 bankers, went to jail as a result of the savings and loan crisis. Now, everything is in place for a repeat of that event and to put these top bankers in jail for committing massive acts of financial fraud. And I think this would clean up the system. It would send a message to the public that looting is no longer tolerated, and it would be a great step forward. I mean, that's an obvious step. Now, why doesn't the Attorney General make that step? Why doesn't Barack Obama encourage that step? Because they're totally co-opted by the system. So the entire institutional approach, whether it's try to go after them on a legal basis or try to reinstitute sound money or try to support a candidate who supports sound money, like a Ron Paul, for example. I mean, those are great institutional approaches. None of them seem to be working because the institutions themselves are now completely broken and not working. So that leaves only two choices, civil disobedience or a violent reaction. Clearly, you would want a civil disobedience reaction. That's your first choice. And if you're trying to attack the banking system and you want to hit them where it hurts, I can think of a few ways. Number one, there could be a mass participation in a mass default on mortgages. This would destroy the banks and send a message. There could be a mass default on credit cards. There could be, in the UK, as we mentioned before, a boycott of the license fee to the BBC. The BBC has got to be held responsible for not reporting on the crime for the past 10 years. So those are the types of civil disobedience acts. And of course, on your show, going back to November of last year, we suggested people buy silver. It was 26. It's now over 40. And, you know, that has the double action of preserving your wealth as well as exposing banks on Wall Street to the liabilities of their short sale on silver. I saw a headline today on Drudge Report that talked about the fact that traders who were short gold, they sold short gold, they sold gold that they don't own, they are getting decimated. They are getting hammered. They're suffering huge losses. That has to happen if the system will return to any kind of integrity.
It is that fundamental rebellion of people going back to what's valuable, gold, silver, food, land, information, and more just simply pulling out of the fiat system that will then expose these financial vampires and will show that they've been engaging in naked shorts. Two final questions for Max Keiser of MaxKeiser.com. And it's a perfect segue. I want to talk about gold. It's now gone up to 1800 today on the announcement that Western governments are going to accelerate the devaluation of their currencies. We saw other major commodities go up as well. J.P. Morgan 2 days ago had said they thought 1800 by the end of the year. Now they're saying 2500 or higher. So give us your view on that. And then let's briefly talk about Bank of America. Are they the next Lehman Brothers? Are they the next sacrificial lamb to terrorize the public into more banker bailouts?
Well, as you know, gold and silver, it's a function of the relative price of the U.S. dollar. And the dollar is very weak. It's hitting new lows against Swiss franc and other currencies around the world. And obviously, if Ben Bernanke is saying that he's going to keep interest rates at 0% for an indefinite period of time, that means that there's no incentive to buy dollars at all.
And Greenspan, don't forget on Meet the Press Sunday, Meet the Whores, said that, hey, we're not going to default. We're just going to print more money. That was a hyperinflationary Weimar Republic statement. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, that's exactly right. And China immediately came out and said, we find your views irresponsible. And they're our largest creditor in the U.S. And they've been actively buying gold. So the dollar and the U.S. policy, really, if you think about it, the only possible way you can grow the U.S. economy, if you look at the various levers out there and what you could push, what you could pull to try to create some wealth, there's only one viable path, and that would be to debase the dollar, to try to make exports more viable in the global economy, in particular America's agricultural exports. The America still does do a lot of agricultural export. If they can crash the dollar, they will get more agriculture exported out of the U.S.
But it'll take years to get an industrial base back, even if our currency was comparable to the Chinese currency or the something like the peso. I mean, this is asinine.
Well, as I've said on your show before, I made the prediction that before long, the biggest industry in America will be cotton picking.
Yeah.
And everyone should familiarize themselves with some of those old spirituals like jump down, pick a bale of cotton. But now moving on to Bank of America. Bank of America, of course, bought into a couple of the failed lending institutions during the last crisis. And as a result, they absorb billions, hundreds of billions of bad debts and trillions in derivatives. And because there hasn't been any growth in the 2 or 3 years, predictably, there hasn't been any ability to write any of that stuff off or pay any of it down. So now Bank of America is going to go down. And this is a huge bank. And it would send shockwaves through the global economy once again, set off another banking crisis, set off another bailout scenario, and further debase the dollar. But Bank of America looks like it's getting close. And Citigroup also looks problematic. Their balance sheets are loaded with debt, and they have on their off their balance sheet, Alex, trillions of dollars worth of debts and derivatives that they've had for years, but they've always been able to service those debts.
Is a fall of the zombie banks one after another possible, and would that destroy the finance oligarchs?
Yeah, of course, but it's it has to be. No one's going to escape it. And on the other end of this, there's going to be the bankers are going to try to flee to territories where, like Prince from that group of mercenaries. Yeah, he's over there in the Middle East now, UAE, but they have any extradition agreement. So you see more bankers going to UAE and other territories.
Halliburton moved there, so literally. We do see them running off with the loot. And in a way, that's even more dangerous to see the elites running, the Bushes buying all this land in Paraguay. That's even creepier to think that they know they've committed so many crimes that they're just fleeing, leaving us with the aftermath of what they've done. But I think at the end of the day, that's why it's good news that you're there, I'm here, so many other great people, Ron Paul, are out there talking about the real issues. So that hopefully we can pick up the pieces when all this is over and move in the right direction. Perhaps the globalists will miscalculate.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
My friends, can barely contain myself right now. If you go to drudgereport.com, you can read a detailed report that Paul Joseph Watson put out this morning. It's posted right up in the right-hand breaking news corner of drudgereport.com from Infowars.com. Pollster, Americans are pre-revolutionary. Just 17% believe U.S. government has consent of the governed. Well, they know that you're awake. That's why they just transferred the power to the Super Congress, the Austerity Congress, 12 members with Obama with a veto, a 13-member council. And they've got Pat Cadell, pollster at Rasmussen, other major polls. I don't just believe one poll. We've got a whole index of polls showing the same numbers or worse. Some are as low as 9% approval rating. The results of this survey indicate that Americans are now pre-revolutionary. That's a quote, says pollster Pat Cadell, who described the outcome of the poll as unprecedented. This conclusion follows Cadell's observation last November that a sea of anger is churning amongst Americans who want to take their country back, and that the nation stood on the brink of pre-revolutionary movement. Now, here's the deal. We've got to get the left and the right and libertarians and everybody to go, wait a minute. It's not about Obama the puppet, as much as it's fun to hate him. It's not about the puppet George W. Bush, as much fun as it is to hate him. It looks like a demon, acts like a demon. You got to get past these people to the big mega banks and the derivatives that they got us and Europe to sign on to that we don't owe. Now, look, our $14.5 trillion deficit, easy to deal with. They're trying to tell us it's about pension funds and Social Security. We're a rich country. It's a joke. The zombie banks are the problem. And they're going to hold us all hostage. Now, joining us for the next 20 minutes or so is Nomi Prinz, journalist, best-selling author. She's got a new book coming out in October, and we'll have her on. Before becoming a journalist, and Nomi couldn't watch what she was seeing anymore, so she left. She worked on Wall Street as a managing director at Goldman Sachs and running the International Analytics Group at Bear Stearns in London. She was analyzing the big spectrum. And so she was piloting a Star Destroyer for these people. And she joins us now, Nomi Prinz, not Naomi, Nomi, N-O-M-I, Prinz.com, links up on Infowars.com. And I want to get her view on the Super Congress, on the hypocritical rating agency. She's got an article out under that title. I want to get her view on where we're going, because from my research, this is a planned implosion, but it's a black hole so giant they've created that it may suck them in with it, like Bank of America plunging in the stock right now. This could be the beginning of a major rout. Could this be bigger than 2008? Nomi, what say you?
About this, and I continue to say we have never since 2008 been in any kind of a recovery. This has all been going on and down behind the scenes and also right out in public view. We don't have a handle on all of the assets, all of the toxicity, all of the debt, everything that was created by the banking system in the run-up to 2008's official crisis, and since then that is still globally dispersed and declining and degrading the global economy as we speak. So there's a couple things going on here, and it's the rating agency coming in and downgrading is one aspect of many things going on. But the bottom line here is that banks created a mess. Banks profited from the mess. And yes, some might go down and some might have their stocks go down, but they made a whole lot of money on the run-up. They can position themselves to short or to not value the securities that are still on their books because the accounting, the Financial Accounting Standards Board says they don't have to, and all sorts of other tricks. Meanwhile, they are floated by the government, by the Federal Reserve, by a whole lot of subsidies that we have no control over, we don't vote for, and that is how they continue to thrive and do what they're doing with no repercussions. We feel the repercussions, and today's mess in the Dow is just one aspect of so many repercussions that we've been feeling and will continue to feel.
Well, very well said, Nomi. So where are we going from here now? From your expert position of research and knowledge, where are we right now?
I think right now we're in the middle of a massive global downfall, and that's because, for one thing, if you don't fix problems, they don't go away. The only group of people who think they might go away if they're not focused on fixing them are the people in Washington. And as you rightly say, it doesn't matter what party they're from. It doesn't matter who selected which Treasury Secretary. It doesn't matter who's even running the Fed. It's a concerted denial of today's problems, definitely, and problems that were emerging. And today's problems and today's debt, for example, the $4 trillion of extra debt that have been created in just the last 2.5 years, as you rightly said, have not been created because we had to save Social Security or because, we're giving too much away to workers and we're helping the labor economy and we're creating jobs. That's obviously, clearly not what has been going on with the debt that's been created. And it's interesting. I think one of your listeners sent this to me. I'm not not sure. There's a U.S. national debt infographic at the White House's website. The link's on my site. I'll send it to you. But they have $3.6 trillion worth of debt created in the last few years that they label economic and technical changes. They don't say, no, I know, it's laughable. And by the way, that doesn't include, we do know that there was a stimulus package. That was an $800 billion package. That's not in that $3.6 trillion, right? The $3.6 trillion is just laughable, you know, general, unaccountable behind it type of moniker for basically saying we gave a lot of stuff to the banks. We printed a lot of money to really flow what was going on. As we talked about on your show last time, the banks, for example, hold $1.6 trillion of treasury bonds that they basically got from the treasury, gave to the Fed, receive interest from the Fed, doing absolutely nothing of any kind of productivity for the U.S. economy or any individual in the United States or globally. That's just one number of that $3.6 trillion. That's just $1.6 trillion of it, and it goes
on. Well, look at the big six megabanks. Record bonuses, record profits. But at the end of the day, how are they going to operate when their parasite economy has destroyed what's left of the real economy? And I guess they say it's better to reign in hell than serve in heaven, because most of the experts we talk to, Nomi, they say that we've really been in a depressionary spiral for 3 years, and that this is going to deliver us on the course we're on into a real depression, and that they've set up this super Congress to be able to do whatever they want during a crisis. What do you think about the term depression, A, and B, super Congress?
Well, you know, the term depression is definitely viable. I've used it as well. And you know how back in the early part of last century, before World War One, they called the First World War the Great War, right? And then we have the Great Depression. And then by the time we got to World War Two, the Great War became World War One, and we had World War Two. And in that respect, we are in Great Depression too, because we have no way out of where we're at. The fact is, the hole is so deep, and it's unfortunate. It's sad, and there could have been things to have been done along the way to have mitigated the problem that were just simply ignored by Washington, by global leaders, by global central banks, because they weren't actually either recognizing, or in fact, they were sustaining the banking system, the private banking system, that was really funneling debt into the economy, toxic debt, high-rated debt that allowed it to be dispersed. So the rating agencies, going back to what's just happened today, were definitely a part of this puzzle. If they didn't rate certain bad debt, certain bad assets, AAA, they wouldn't have been dispersed and sold throughout the global economy, bringing whole cities and municipalities and pension funds down with them. They were labeled wrong, and there's been no accountability for that. And it's the same lack of accountability that's created this downward spiral. Because if what is sustaining municipalities, what's sustaining local towns, what's sustaining local pension funds, what's sustaining local workers isn't real, then as much as anyone can work, as much as anyone can attempt to find jobs to
that's right. We've invested our whole economy in a planned Ponzi scheme fraud, and now the Ponzi scheme operators are saying, go down with us, let us rule you, or you won't even get 10% of what you invested.
Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us for this InfoWars.com special report. Paul Watson is a longtime reporter for InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in the UK. We're now entering the fifth days of some of the worst rioting ever to hit the United Kingdom. And Paul has discovered some very important information. Days ago, we received reports from journalists on the ground that police were ordered to stand down. As of today, they have admitted that indeed they were ordered to stand down. And there are other reports that men posing as journalists were basically offering money to youth if they too would engage in rioting. The question is, why has a green light been given at this time for this type of activity, attacking family-owned shops, burning down businesses, and even homes? Paul Watson from Prison Planet, what's the latest?
Well, that's correct, Alex. Yesterday we reported that, quote, the lackluster police response, with numerous reports from the public that police stood back and allowed looters to pillage both large department stores and private small businesses for hours on end. And today that's being confirmed, because sources from within Scotland Yard have confirmed to both the Daily Mail and the Times of London that police were ordered to, quote, stand and observe on those first few nights of rioting as the rioters set fire to buildings, both homes and small businesses. They were ordered to stand back and let it happen. And of course, we said that this was going to be the case all along, because it's routine, standard operating procedure. The authorities allow the chaos to spiral, to build, and it provokes the general public, specifically the middle class, to demand the police state measures, which the government is all too keen to later give them. And that's exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, with Parliament being recalled. They're going to have a debate, and they're going to set the stage for a law which is going to basically criminalise public gatherings without government permission. So that's the upshot of it. And so to claim that this is some kind of organic political revolution against bankers is fundamentally naive. It's a mistake to embrace what are essentially a group of drunk, mindless teenagers and pretend that they're on some kind of frontline war against the establishment, because they're not. You know, not every flash mob is a revolution, and to pretend that it is again completely naive. It's wishful thinking.
Well, you know why that's being done. They're blurring the lines so that now when anybody does have a political flash mob, or when anybody does actually go after real targets like the banksters, then it can be demonized. We've seen cases here in the U.S. where they send the army in plain clothes to spy on in the Fed peaceful demonstrations. And so the UK government, as you know, Paul, 4 years ago came out and said, as austerity measures come in, there is going to be intensified social resistance. So we've got to put a police state in place. And so now ahead of that, they're just allowing the hooligans, who are just your regular sports fans, who riot after a soccer game or riot after, you know, games in Brazil, basketball games in Los Angeles, soccer games in South Africa. It's the same types all over the world, mainly the welfare class, that go out and do this as a sport and as a way to steal some loot and some goodies. And so now their activities targeting mom and pop shops and homes is being transposed over legitimate political debate and discussion. And the fact that they've waited 4 days to finally get the Parliament back and do this is incredibly frightening.
Well, yeah, and that's why it's completely stupid to embrace them, because then that's what we're going to be labeled with, is the supporters of these mobs. I mean, just look what they're attacking. They're not laying siege to the Houses of Parliament. They're laying siege to JD Sports. They're attacking family-owned local businesses that have survived two world wars and razing them to the ground. They're attacking charity shops, cat rescue centres, hospitals that care for sick babies. And now they're killing people by running them down in their cars in Birmingham, just 20 minutes from where I live. You have the video of this young Malaysian kid lying on the street bleeding. The rioters pretend to help him up, then threaten to stab him and steal his stuff. How on earth is that protesting against bankers? I mean, these are just opportunist thugs. And so I'm sorry, but that doesn't represent me. I don't think it represents our movement. And I think it's foolish to try and embrace it and say that it does, because later down the line, we will be discredited and blamed for all this chaos, just like the Tea Party is being blamed for the financial collapse. They're going to pin it on us.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if the Tea Party's causing what's happening in Israel with the protest or the protest ongoing in Egypt. Rand Paul put it well. It's like the fire department shows up to put out your burning house, and you blame them for starting the fire. There is such a pent-up anger, though, at the corrupt system that people are hoping that this is the revolution that people are looking for. Now, Paul, there's another big issue here. You notice these riots are going on and these racial robberies and things are going on in Chicago, in New York, in the other few U.S. cities where they have a total gun ban for citizens. That's where the welfare-type people go. They congregate. The opportunistic criminals congregate because they know they're going to be protected and they're going to be feeding on unarmed citizenry. Look at England, where you've had people who've been robbed three times in a row in their own home. They get an illegal gun. They shoot one of the intruders. They get the book thrown at them. I've seen cases in England, people pushing someone down a flight of stairs that's robbing them. They get the book thrown at them. So there's a real desire by the social engineers in England to leave the general law-abiding public servile and dependent on the state, so that the state can prey on the public and then also menace them with the zombie welfare hordes. Do you concur with that analysis?
Yes, I do. And for people to say that because we don't embrace these looting hooligans means that we somehow support the system is asinine. I mean, try and hold more than one concept in your head at the same time. I know it's difficult for some people, but try and do it. This is not something in Britain that started as a result of the financial collapse 3 years ago. I mean, this is an element of British society that stretches back decades. We've always had this intimidating underclass, and it's always been used by the establishment as a tool against general society, the middle class, law-abiding people. You can talk to anyone who's lived amongst this in England, and with all due respect to Max Kaiser, who, I don't know, he may live in some swanky part of Paris. But, I mean, I grew up with it. I was born on a council estate in Sheffield, in a poor northern city. I went to school with some of these types of people. You know, my first property that I bought was across the road from a crack house in the poorest part of town. And this is what these mobs, these yobs like to do. It's fun for them to go and burn things and steal things. It's as one person in The Guardian today described it, and he was actually involved in the riots in Liverpool back in the 80s. He said it's basically like Nintendo Wii come to life. It's just fun for them. They have no idea. They have no concept of some kind of backlash against the bankers.
It's fun to light somebody's house on fire and have a woman jump to firefighters and then attack the firefighters. And again, it's a complex issue. We know the government let this happen so they could then have shoot-to-kill orders for peaceful protesters because they know the resistance to them is mounting. This is more than, you know, one little thought in our head. This is three-dimensional, four-dimensional thought. We understand that when parliament members start calling for shooting arsonists, that it's going to be used against the general public. But I'm sorry, you come to my house and try to set a fire, that's attempted murder. I'm going to kill you. I couldn't imagine living in England where people that are out defending their homes are being demonized right now. That's the one thing that the street thugs can't deal with and that the nanny-ninny state can't deal with is neighborhoods banding together, the baseball bats all selling out there in England, and people fighting back. And it's not even the police now that have been fighting back these crowds of miscreants, some of them as young as 9 years old, robbing liquor stores. It's the fact that the people are now standing up that is backing them off in some areas. And so that is certainly good news. And they're being demonized as some type of right-wing gang. When anybody's basic instinct is, when you've got roving bands of people, like something out of Road Warrior that we've been warning people about, you've got to stand up to them and nip it in the bud. And that should have been on day one by the police. Now, if folks were protesting the government, and the police attacked a peaceful crowd like Tiananmen Square, and then people took over the parliament, and people took over 10 Downing Street and stormed the palaces, I would say that's a legitimate rebellion. But pulling people out of cars and beating people to death and running over people is not that. And, Paul, I hope that you can sit there and defend your country from these people.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Just to say that the people now out defending their property are not just white right-wingers. You've got Sikhs, you've got Muslims, you've got all kinds of races out there defending their property. And now the latest reports are that the police are actually moving these people away from the areas where the riots are expected to happen.
Yeah, I was about to say they're telling Sikhs who are standing out front their churches, their temples that are full of valuables, that you're not going to defend it. By the way, you shouldn't have a sword because these guys have ceremonial swords. They're standing out front. A normal action of a man. I believe the three people that got run over by the car defending their property were Muslims. So I want to point out here, it's so much fun to demonize Muslims all day, but it's Sikhs, it's Muslims, right-wing pro-Englanders that are defending law and order, while it's the liberal, trendy, welfare, whites, blacks, Asians, you name it, running around doing this. And it's disgusting, Paul, to see it confirm that the government is trying to stop the citizens from defending themselves. If that isn't evidence of how lawless and criminal your government is, I don't know what is.
Exactly, and just don't confuse a flash mob with a revolution. Not every flash mob is a revolution. I mean, you had in the communist revolution, the mob was controlled from above. It fed on the middle class. It looted people with small amounts of wealth. Not every revolution is positive.
That's what the NKVD did. They would send out, Stalin took people out of the prisons and sent them to Ukraine and other places to thuggishly do this. And that's what the founders talked about, a republic where no minority can be targeted, where everyone has rights, that the mob cannot vote away, or 51% will vote to enslave the other 49. And that's why the social engineers, the offshore banks, are always pushing democracy, because they can dumb down the population and use these hordes of dependent people to absolutely rob and destroy us. That's why I'm so against the illegal aliens. Because no matter where they come from, they get a liberal handout once they get here. They get indoctrinated and they get turned against the Second Amendment and private property. And pretty soon the illegals that are now becoming the majority of America are going to vote to take the guns, the property, everything. And the bankers will sit offshore laughing at this. Paul, looking in England, you're 10 years ahead of the United States. Any final comments?
Yeah, we've just got to be wary of the fact that these groups of disaffected youth are going to be used as a weapon to petrify the middle class into demanding the police state that is later used them. So try and look at it from a more sophisticated approach than saying, oh, if you don't support the rioters, then you support the establishment. You've got to be a little bit more sophisticated than that.
No, the establishment is supporting the rioters by protecting them and giving them their liberation theology and leaving them alone and telling the vigilantes they don't have a right to defend themselves.
And telling the police to stand down, which is now being revealed. That's what happened in the first 3 days. So we'll wait and see what Parliament says tomorrow. And undoubtedly, it's going to be the start of more draconian crackdown in Great Britain.
Absolutely, and we'll watch it all with you and your brother there in England, Steve Watson, in London itself. And we also have other reporters that have been popping in who have witnessed racial attacks, you name it. This is really bringing out the ugliest side of so many people, but also the best side of many others, like the Sikhs, the Muslims, and the, quote, England first evil right-wingers that are being demonized. Paul Watson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Alex.
My friends, we'll be covering this all live tomorrow on the radio, 11 a.m. Central. If you don't have XM or if you're not listening on a local AM or FM station, you can always listen to the free audio streams at Infowars.com, or you can get the free iPhone app to listen on your iPhone or Droid where and when you want. Again, thank you so much for tuning into this special transmission. I want to thank PrisonPlanet.tv members for their support to make this possible. And don't forget, we have the new nightly television show that'll be condensed and focused and hard-hitting starting September 1st here at PrisonPlanet.tv. Well, that's it for this InfoWars special report with Max Keiser and, of course, Paul Watson and yours truly, Alex Jones. I want to say also in closing, fabulous job to our dedicated InfoWars crew. We'll see you back tomorrow live on the radio.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are live. thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, the 10th day of August, 2011. And we're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Well, these are the times that try men and women's souls. A great period of unrest and upheaval is now upon us as a society, as a world. We have been in the throes of a depression globally for at least 3 years. It is now intensifying and is only going to get worse from here on out unless we remove the corrupt ruling class that have seized control of the world economy through fraud, namely through fractional reserve banking, and then the last 12 years through derivatives, which allow them to create unlimited counterfeit financial instruments. Now, it has always been the ruling class's established rule to control large cities going back thousands of years by having large different segments of the population living in welfare slums that are funded by the government. The Romans did this more than 2,000 years ago. They had a bread and also a silver allotment. And any time that the surrounding rural gentry did not pay the high taxes or do what they were told, the welfare crowds would be released, the Roman military would stand down, and the welfare hordes would exit the city and begin robbing and looting and stealing and burning. You could then not count on the Roman fire department to give you any assistance also in the city in your burning neighborhood if you'd not paid them large amounts of protection money. No, it was not the American Italian La Cosa Nostra that invented the threats of burning down your family clothier or grocery store or furniture store if you did not pay them protection money. It was their Roman ancestors, and that's where Julius Caesar's family made most of their money and got into political power, was running the fire department racket. Our fire departments today are not engaged in such activities, just to be clear, before the New York Times or someone else says that I'm stating that modern fire departments. No, I'm talking about what is Italy today, and of course, formerly the empire, the Roman Empire, based in the city of Rome. Okay. Before I get into the global financial meltdown, before I get into the day four of uncontrolled riots, the British Prime Minister says they might use water cannons and batons later if the rioters don't behave themselves. This is just like in Seattle in 1999 when the police even admitted they were ordered to stand down and let rioters burn things, destroy things for a day before they then attacked the peaceful demonstrators and set the precedent nationwide to no longer even allow peaceful demonstrations and to have Darth Vader festooned, garbed police attack the general population of peaceful protesters. And that's all this is here. What we suspected is now coming out. Even the BBC is admitting that police were ordered 4 nights ago to stand down in South London, where all of this began. We now have the reports that the rioters all over the country, all over what is England, within the UK, that region, are being directed and promised payments if they will riot by men claiming to be part of the media, probably police operative provocateurs. We've also seen this go on in Greece as well. Going back 2 years ago, their national news documented it was police rioting and starting the riots. And then we also documented that, 3 years ago, national news had to admit it later in Canada, that the Royal Mounted Police did dress up like anarchists and begin breaking and smashing and stealing so they could then have the police attack the peaceful crowds protesting the North American Union meeting. So what they've done is they've primed the pump. They have provocateured the first events, and then the larger hooligan mass rushes in to expand the crisis. And then David Cameron's not in trouble for the News Corp hacking gate anymore and the mysterious deaths. David Cameron can move forward now with tax increases to satiate the welfare zombie mobs. This is a standard operating procedure, and I'm going to be going over it. But as for the individuals that are doing this, as for the general mobs, some of it at the beginning was racially motivated. And I guess you could say in a way that's political. But from the hundreds of emails and comments I've gotten from reporters that live in the area that we've talked to on air, from Steve Watson, who lives in London, from Paul Watson, north of London, this is purely in the second, third, and fourth day, groups of hooligans, the folks that like to go get drunk and get in fights at soccer games as part of their tribalism outlet, black, white, you name it, who are engaging in pure looting. In fact, I saw one report of an entire business district, shop district, burned, leveled, and looted, except for a bookstore. The looters had no interest in that. Electronic stores, liquor stores, pawn shops, furniture stores, anything of value looted and stolen. And then you have the so-called left saying this is the beginning of the Stalinistic uprising against the bourgeoisie and then the ruling class. Absolutely ridiculous. You have the rise of hooliganism in South Africa. You have the rise of it in Brazil. You have the rise of it in Los Angeles, in New York, in Chicago. You do not have the rise of it in Dallas, because if you try to pull people out of their cars in Dallas, and it's happened a few times in these hooligan riots, you are shot dead. Let me tell you something. A police officer has citizens' arrest power. That's why citizens have citizen arrest power. Counties and cities get together and then elect a sheriff or elect a mayor who creates a police force of men and women that have citizens' arrest power. You try to pull me out of my car and beat me up or kill me or rape my wife, I'm going to kill you. And that is under common law, thousands of years old. And so you notice you don't have these type of things going on in Dallas, Texas. You don't have this type of stuff going on in Phoenix, Arizona. You don't have this type of stuff going on because when you start burning buildings down, that is an act of arson in action. You are committing acts that could and probably will kill people. And if I catch people trying to burn my house or my neighbor's house, I'm going to put a bead on you and I'm going to unload into you and your cohorts. Understand that. The globalists want law and order to break down so they can come in after the looting rages for weeks or even months, as has been done in many other countries as part of the IMF World Bank plan that was leaked in 2002 that we've covered so much. They call it the IMF riot. And after it's run its course, the country's confidence is destroyed. The stocks are destroyed. The nation is in trouble, and the big offshore banks come in and take even more control. Even more control. And so where do you see these riots taking place? You see them taking place in social engineering, multicultural, globalist-run warrens of modern ninny states. The first thing a ninny state does, and in the U.S. they can't do it nationwide, so they've done it city by city. New York, Chicago, L.A., Boston to a certain extent. The first thing they do in a disarmed ninny state is disarm the public. Once that happens, they double or triple the police force. You go to New York, there's cops every 10 feet. They're not there to help you. They look like something out of a movie of a cartoon-style police state, third world thug. They're shaking people down. They're engaging in crimes. They leave the basic criminals alone. But if they see mainline productive citizens, they set upon you and feed on you.
Follow. don't want to hear.
My friends, Alex Jones here from Infowars.com with an important message concerning the 2012 presidential election. In all of my years of studying politics worldwide and here in the U.S., I have never seen the establishment running scared like they are right now. A perfect storm is upon us. Everything Ron Paul talked about 30 years ago and 3.5 years ago in the 2008 campaign has come true. The Federal Reserve has bankrupted the country by design. Open world government, global carbon taxes, VAT is being announced. Everything that he's warned us about is now unfolding. Our country is bankrupt from the welfare state, all these wars. The federal government's out of control. Obama's launching wars without congressional approval. A super Congress now creates the spending bills. The president, more and more, is becoming a dictator. Our country is dominated by the Federal Reserve banking cartel. Ron Paul, Thursday night in the debate, had most of the cheers and applause on the Fox News Republican debate. The other candidates were like a group of traitorous wolves or hyenas attacking him, going after him, trying to demonize him. The questioners from Fox were trying to demonize Ron Paul and were so scared of him. They were endorsing torture and secret arrest of Americans and even the extrajudicial killing of Americans and were laughing at him that he wanted trials and due process. Ron Paul is the American. Ron Paul is aligned with George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. These globalists, they're the ones that aren't aligned. They're the ones that could care less about our republic and work for the special interest. You're not going to find a real constitutional president from the Democrats. You're not going to find it from the Republicans. And the media is coming after him. Liberal, conservatives, CBS, ABC, Fox, CNN, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck. Rush Limbaugh, on Friday, I saw the video clip of him in his studio saying Ron Paul is dangerous. He'll destroy the Republican Party. It's nuts on parade. And he turned to the TV that he was watching. And he goes, look, there's Ron Paul, you know, talking in front of the ice cream stand in Iowa. It was funny because I had actually seen that myself that day live. And it was the hatred of this man who has the most conservative voting record in Congress, who is a true constitutionalist, a true libertarian. And there was this hate by this individual calling him a nut, this admitted hardcore drug addict, this rhino, this guy that supports all the neocons and the wars and the Patriot Act and the police state now being used against the American people. It's so disgusting. Then I learned Glenn Beck attacked him. Remember the guy that supported the bailout, who likes Mitt Romney, the Mr. Carbon Tax that Al Gore loves? I mean, these people are disgusting. They're put in there to lead conservatives and constitutionalists straight to Hades, just like Obama was there to lead Democrats. It's time for people to wake up. Ron Paul is popular with conservatives, libertarians, and even liberals that have any sense. Ron Paul at this key juncture in history is here, and the system is scared to death of him. He won the New Hampshire straw poll. In all the national polls, he comes in first, second, or third, and the media continues to put out this hoax, and this is the most important point. This mantra that he cannot win, he cannot win, he cannot win. Yeah, I like Ron Paul, most talk show hosts say, but he can't win. This idea to try to go after the public and treat you like you're weak-minded so that you'll, quote, vote for a winner so you feel like a winner. Well, we've already won because Ron Paul's running and educating people about real issues. He is the only real candidate out there, period. And His decades-long work is now coming to fruition in an archetypal challenge right as America is imploding, right as everything he talked about is happening. And the system is ignoring him. And most news reports, even when he won CPAC 2 years in a row, in front of all the big conservatives, the key victory that Ronald Reagan and others won, Fox News wouldn't report it, and then finally they reported it and dubbed in boos from another speech. This is the deception. This is the level of manipulation. If you want to go against the establishment, if you want to go against the status quo, look at the entire status quo attacking Ron Paul. Look at how scared they are of him. Go back online and watch that debate from Thursday, how the questioners at the debate were trying to make him look bad and attacking him, how everyone on stage was attacking him because they're all establishment, they're all globalists, they're all bought and paid for by the special interests that run this country. America doesn't have long. We are at a crossroads, ladies and gentlemen. And don't be like Judas Iscariot, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and others. Don't wish later you wouldn't have taken that 30 pieces of silver. Rush, you said 2 years ago you were no longer going to carry the Republicans' water anymore, and that you'd been a hack, and that they were basically corrupt and just as bad as the Democrats. But now you're flipping right back to it. You only did that to try to keep your dwindling audience that's waking up to you. You know, if you guys don't stand up for the Republic and Ron Paul, a true constitutionalist, because it's the right thing to do, you should do it. Because that's what's popular. You should, because there's no future for this country. There is no future for a system where they laugh at Ron Paul because he wants Americans to be able to have trials. Because he doesn't want Americans to be able to be killed by the government. That's now on the books. We have all of this tyranny taking place. And the entire system from all points of the compass is attacking Ron Paul because he is a major front runner. He is a major front runner in the top three in many polls, number one. He could win. He could be our president. He could get on top of Congress and work with them to reverse the tyranny. We're going to collapse if we don't. There's other avenues, the states. There's other ways to try to fix the country, but Ron Paul is a big part of it. So we're at a crossroads. Make your decision. The choice is up to you right now, historically. Don't look back later and wish that the old propaganda of he can't win kept you from voting for Ron Paul and supporting him. It's time for Republicans. It's time for Democrats. It's time for Libertarians. It's time for everybody to really think about the fact that Ron Paul has never compromised and has always done what he said he would do. And that even if you don't totally agree with some of his policies, we need somebody who's bona fide, somebody who's real, somebody who can be trusted. The system is coming after him. That is a massive endorsement of Ron Paul. And it is so sickening to watch those establishment whores up there on TV attacking and the cowardly Republicans in that debate openly pushing tyranny like it's good. And to see Ron Paul like a lion and winner standing up to those hyenas, to those jackals. I'll be covering it more on the radio and at InfoWars.com. We've got key reports up there dealing with the hoax that Ron Paul can't win, dealing with the fact that the establishment is scared to death. They're scared to death for a reason. They know they're bringing in tyranny. They know the people are waking up to them. They know that the Federal Reserve is unpopular. And they know that Ron Paul could become president. We're at a historic point. Get out there and defend Ron Paul and expose the hoax that he can't win. I'm Alex Jones reporting for InfoWars.com.
Cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
You know, if you're watching us on Prison Planet TV as we stream the radio show in living color, you could see the footage we're about to play in Vancouver, Canada, of people rioting and burning things when their team lost or when people's teams win. Large areas in major cities of Brazil being burned, or fans in Los Angeles burning things and beating people over the head and dragging folks out of their cars. Is this revolution? Are these people George Washington, Thomas Jefferson? Because according to many people, yes, this is revolution. This is beautiful. This is wonderful. No, it's not revolution when San Francisco Giants fans post on Craigslist, beat a Dodger day, encourage murder of a Dodgers fan. That's a quote. And Twitter is saying that they're going to continue to leave the accounts up of people who are calling for violence, burning, and looting on Twitter. Well, of course, Twitter was used to overthrow the old dictator Hosni Mubarak. It was used to then help put in the Muslim Brotherhood and oppress people even more. Because that's what the CIA and MI6 wanted. And now Twitter is being used over in England, according to looting and robbing and burning, because the government's going to use it to ram through curfews and martial law rules and to shoot people on site for politically protesting. You see, this is a more drawn-out version of what happened in 1999 when, for 24 hours, the hired, warehoused anarchists were flown in by major foundations. I have it all on video in Police State 2, the takeover. The police on tape admitting they were ordered to stand down and let the looters attack and burn in Seattle so the news could say, why don't they do something? Why don't they stand up against them? So then the looters could pull back, move into a government building right next to the police department under police guard, flown in, and so the police could then attack old ladies who were part of the protest against the World Trade Organization. Now, that's all that's happening here. That's all that's happening here is the police stood down Sunday. They stood down Monday. They stood down Tuesday. And now David Cameron, that carbon tax promoting New World Order slime bag, is saying that we might use water cannons on a 24-hour notice. It's ridiculous. They know who these people are. They could have 3 days ago, off of positive IDs of thousands of these people, arrested them, put them on the news, made an example of them. But instead, they're going to let it get out of control, out of control, out of control, until finally the police start shooting people with real bullets. And then the precedent's going to be set not to shoot somebody trying to burn your house down. Not to shoot somebody trying to burn your house down. No. But shooting someone who goes and protests at the parliament. You know, for several years, you haven't been allowed to protest anywhere around parliament. I went there to peacefully speak on a bullhorn. And even though it was a week before the law went into place, they told me to leave or I'd be arrested. That's in Terror Storm, one of my films. If you tried to go down and burn areas of parliament, you would have been shot Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. But because the hooligans, that's all this is a branch of the soccer hooligans, because they're burning down five-generation clothiers and four-generation watch shops and four-generation furniture shops, because they're dragging people out of their cars at barricades and beating them up, because that's happening, the police are standing down to let this get out of hand so the giant police state the British government has set up, the UK government has set up, can be dropped down like a hammer vice on the public of England. And so I agree with Steve Watson from one angle. If you're just looking at this in a two-dimensional way, knee-jerk calls for army on London streets to shoot looters on sight. Well, that would mean somebody out after dark, wouldn't it? But then it goes on. The member of parliament said, time to get tough, bring in the army, shoot looters and arsonists on site. Arsonists should be shot on site. And people attacking fire department people, already risking their lives, battling fires with women jumping out of it, they should be shot. That's attempted murder. Setting fires to people's houses and business is an act that could kill a lot of people. If I ran up to you with a burning torch and said, I'm going to set you on fire, would you have a right to defend yourself? Absolutely. But see, this is the psychological manipulation to where now they're going to hold back, not do what they're supposed to do. Did you tell me we had him? Because I didn't hear you. Okay, good. Thank you. Great. because I didn't hear anything over the mic. What's going on here is very simple at one level, but also very sophisticated. It's problem, reaction, solution. And you've got generation after generation of people dependent on welfare. You've got globalism. You've got deindustrialization. You've got people living on subsistence level handouts. You've got a middle class scared of the giant swelling underclass. And you've got the social engineers who've all got their mountain retreats outside of England, outside of Europe, outside of the U.S., sitting back and manipulating the whole thing. And I predicted it all with precision. I told you a year ago, 6 months ago, over and over again, find the clips where I said society's going to degenerate, the austerity's going to come in, the welfare hordes are going to riot, an expanded version of a sports riot, the middle class is going to get scared, the globalists are going to stand back, let the riots run their course, and then later, when the public is begging for total tyranny, come in and beg for it. Come in and beg for the end of Magna Carta, the end of the Bill of Rights, the end of the Constitution. And that's what has to be articulated out to everyone. Now, joining us is Steve Watson, who does a great job writing at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But I tell you, Steve, it's a good article you wrote, but if people just go with the headline, knee-jerk calls for army on London streets to shoot looters on sight, if the police would have just done their job and apprehended these arsonists and people day one instead of letting them do it, it wouldn't have to later come to that point. But what do you do if somebody comes to your house and tries to set it on fire, Steve?
Well, you do what you can, obviously. But, I mean, this is a big story we've got today. The police were ordered to stand back, which is what we were saying yesterday. We were debating whether, you know, the senior police has issued orders for them to hold back, and indeed there's articles out today that have confirmed that. So, you know, you've got the police standing back while these looters run riot. And then also today we've got videos of, because the police have been ordered to stand back and do nothing, we've got videos of these sort of vigilante groups springing up now, which are a very complex thing, because they're made up not only of people that genuinely do want to protect their community, and they're rightly so, and their families and stuff like that, in the absence of the police doing so. But, you know, these groups are also made up of a different kind of yob mentality, and it's this sort of division between these communities that is what we've been talking about for so long that we've seen coming to fruition now.
Absolutely, as society breaks into gangs. And the article is at PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com. This is big news. We need to get this out to everybody. But we also need to point out that the police, many times, if they can't get welfare folks to riot, they'll go out and do it themselves dressed as anarchists.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, 12 years ago in England, the United States, Europe, they all started getting the riot police ready. We've covered the flash mob reports by the British Ministry of Defense 4 years ago, the Department of Defense 3 years ago, laying out how all this would happen and how a police state would be needed. And it'll be executed against the general population that's nonviolent and non-criminal. That's why under this social engineering system, it is absolutely imperative that the general public be disarmed, because you can't play the giant poor, welfare, disenfranchised thug culture that's been popularized by MTV and made to be sexy off against the scared, chicken-necked middle class if you don't have a scared, chicken-necked middle class. And joining us is an American journalist who's lived in London for many years, and he's done great reports for us from Copenhagen Summit and other events, is Patrick Henningsen. And Max Kaiser's coming up in about 30 minutes to give us his view on this. He scolded us in an email that we had it all wrong. This was a glorious liberation happening of the iPods and things, and I don't usually disagree with Kaiser, but But he'll straighten me out here in a moment. After all, I'm just a dumb American. Patrick Henningsen, you're an American over in London. You witnessed attacks, barricades, what appeared to be racial attacks. Obviously, most of this now is just general criminal looting. Can you give us the full spectrum analysis of exactly what's happening? Because this can't happen in a country, in a city where the public is armed. This could only happen in places like Chicago, New York, or greater England. And of course, we have the secret immigration program of Tony Blair. Now they've brought in the entitled groups. They have the disheveled, drunken British kids that were born there, just as out of control. And it is quite a recipe.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex. Thanks. Yeah, listen, what you have here, what's been expressed in the last 3 or 4 days in this country is the culmination of a social experiment that's been going on starting with Margaret Thatcher through 10 years of Tony Blair government and now obviously into the David Cameron's coalition, conservative liberal Democrat government. It's a social experiment. It's failed horribly. And I'll top it off with the point that I wanted to make yesterday, which I didn't make, was the government in this country have set their priorities over the last 10 years of bombing and pillaging innocent people in countries like Iraq, Afghanistan, and most recently in Libya, with spending, $800,000 per cruise missile, dropping 7,000 of those in the first week. That's where our money's going. That's where their priority is. And they've taken their eye off the ball in this country. And sadly, I could have told you this is coming a long time ago, and so could everybody else in my neighborhood and anyone else who's lived in the city. It's particularly vulnerable to the sort of escalation that we've seen in the last 72 hours. You know, you've got young kids who've had their culture imported from America. What's meaningful for British young kids between the age of 12 and 18, American baseball caps, Nike trainers, tracksuits, hip-hop, Snoop Doggy Dog. This is the culture, which isn't even British. It's a cheap American import. This is what they look up to, MTV, party.
And let's be honest, that fake MTV culture that's only about 20 years old is a gang prison culture. The young kids don't know that when they let pants hang down over their hind end, that means I am a person who wants to have sex with everybody and get HIV here in the prison. All of it is about a thug life. I'm tough. I'm cool. The new manhood in America is being on welfare, going to prison, getting HIV. That's what our role models are. Not explorers, not scientists, not firefighters that go into burning buildings. It is now the lowest of the low, common denominator, bling, garbage, psychic warfare, evil for the young girls. It's cut yourself, take drugs, Lady Gaga with dead Chinese political dissidents hanging on meat hooks at her events, everyone worshiping it. Just a total culture of flooded death with just zombie-like creatures running around in all directions. This is a genius psychic warhead that they've launched into us with precision.
Look, from an objective point of view, you can say very safely that in this country, and in America it's the same, you have millions of disaffected youth. They have no vision. They have no opportunity because all the jobs have been exported to the Far East and elsewhere. They have essentially no future. All they have is this cheap import culture. They have brands. They have brands they can look up to. They have music artists who are way overpaid, footballers, and athletes or whoever paid. That's it. That's all they get. So these retail riots, the mainstream media are saying that, oh, this is because of austerity cuts and social services have been cut. But you know why this has kicked off into commercial riots? It's not because of the government. The state hasn't necessarily failed these people. It's because the cheap credit was cut off 3 years ago. And I don't know if Max Kaiser will touch on this point, but it's not about the state. Who ultimately controls the prosperity is the banks. They cut credit. They cut cheap access to easy money. The second and third mortgages are gone. That was the spending money the parents were giving the kids. The holiday loan, the car loan, the loan for the computer, pay for your living room furniture 3 years from now.
No, they are totally desperate to obtain not a mate, not a job, not a future. They should be fighting the government politically. They must attain the iPhone, the iPad, the boombox. They must attain it. That's what they're looting. That's what they're robbing. The liquor, the electronics. They're leaving the bookstores alone. And they're pulling people out of their cars. They're carjacking people. Now we have the deaths of vigilantes run over, trying to defend their businesses. But here's the bigger issue, Patrick. The police now have admitted they were ordered to stand down. And Cameron's letting this get worse and worse and worse. So they can then bring in, starting tomorrow, all perfectly timed. He didn't call back Parliament on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. He called it on Tuesday back for Thursday. At its height, with more burning and nothing being done, they will come in and pass totally draconian laws that will restrict the general public's rights ahead of true austerity and crackdowns. And they will probably go ahead and say, we're going to start shooting to kill anybody who politically protest.
Well, what they've done, for the first time on British mainland, this is not counting Northern Ireland, they're now authorizing that the police can have rubber bullets or sort of plastic bullets in their round, and they will shoot looters on sight. This is something that it's the first time in history on the British mainland. This is normal in Belfast. Of course, if you live in Belfast, and I've spoken to Northern Irish people, and they're just kind of shaking their heads, like, because if this happened in Belfast, basically, water cannons would be out. They would just be spraying these kids all over the street. Plastic bullets would be shot, and you can disperse crowds quite quickly. It's a fine line to walk between law and order and the security police state. Normally, we'd have this debate 15 years ago, and it'd be a totally different discussion. But now the police state has moved so far forward into people's lives. The state has moved so far forward into people's lives that this is a natural progression. For people who are anarchists, for people who say they were doing this for freedom and against the establishment, they've just kicked the ball into their own goal, because the state will clamp down on Twitter. They'll be tracing IP addresses. They'll be listening more into your powers to listen to your cell phone. Your privacy is gone. Cops on the street, maybe soldiers on the street in some cities.
And the root of this is, first they had to disarm the Brits. And once they've disarmed a population in Chicago and New York, it's always the same. The criminals all move there. The welfare people all move there. And then a hell is created. And it's total divide and conquer. And that's the issue. You know, we can't write an article about, hey, it's wrong to say shoot arsonist, and then not add to the equation, this has all been allowed because the public can't defend themselves, and the police stood down and let it get to this point. People do have a right. I mean, if you were inside that pub barricaded in Sunday night, and they were trying to set fire to you inside of it, you would be insane to not go out and defend yourself. But in this gelded, castrated world, that is the ultimate crime.
Yeah, that's what we've come to, is people are waiting for the state to come and sort it out. People are saying, oh, the police, are they going to be there? Are the police going to be there? Listen, if this goes down again, I'm talking to my neighbors. We're going to exchange phone numbers. We're going to have a list, and everyone's going to have aluminum baseball bats and crowbars inside their door, and if anything's going down, I'm calling the neighborhood chain, and we're going to basically make sure everybody's okay, and if anything goes down, we're blocking off the both ends of our streets unless you live here. No kids coming in, no looting, you know, no burning. It's not going to happen.
And by the way, as you restore order, they will send the cops and tell you can't do it.
Well, the Prime Minister would save a whole lot of money and a whole lot of resources if you let communities self-organize a little bit. But what that will be, that's forbidden, because that's basically saying you're no longer dependent on the state.